Good morning, Bristol Bay. I'm Izzy Ross, and we have a special program for this hour. We're going to be talking about different funding for people in Bristol Bay who've been affected by COVID-19. I'm here with Gabe Dunham of the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program in Dillingham and Michelle Kern with the Alaska Business Development Center in Anchorage in association with the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. We're going to be talking about a collaboration they're working on and its goals. Gabe, take it away.
Hi, thanks, Izzy. Good morning. As you mentioned, Alaska Sea Grant and the Alaska Business Development Center have been working together with BBEDC, and we're really trying to develop some outreach and information for people in the region so that they can better understand some of the COVID-19 economic assistance programs available to them and also where people can get more information. It seems that there are enough different programs out there to make some of these options confusing. So we're talking with you today in an effort to help people trying to decide whether or not they want to pursue assistance, and if they decide they want to, where they can go for more information. And, you know, again, some of these objectives are that we're going to give an overview of some of these current opportunities and a few of the high points, the important details, if you will, and also give some of the basic information. So several of the programs are available to businesses affected by COVID-19. This includes fishing businesses. So we'll talk about two state programs and two federal programs, and then we'll follow that up with some tips on what a business owner can do now, and also who you can contact for more information. So the first few programs I'm going to talk about are the federal programs, and the first one is the Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP program, and this was a federal CARES Act-funded program through the Small Business Administration. Now, this program is no longer accepting applications. They finished accepting their applications earlier this month, but we're talking about this because there are some important considerations for those who currently hold this PPP program loan and are also looking at applying for the forgiveness process in the future. Now, so again, as I just alluded to, this is a forgivable loan, but folks that hold these loans need to pay attention to how these funds are used. For example, payroll, which has to comprise 60% of those funds and the way they're used, the other 40% can be spent on things like mortgage interest and rent and utilities, and that's described on the SBA website. Now, the Flexibility Act, which was signed on June 5th, modified some of the PPP criteria, including extending the loan maturity, the payment deferral, and changing the forgiveness amounts and the distribution of the funds that have to be spent for payroll versus other expenses. So the message here is that if you have one of these early, and I mean by before June 5, by when I say early, talk with your lender if the terms of your loan might need to be modified based on any of those documents that you initially signed. A little note about forgiveness here. Those forgiveness applications need to be submitted to your lender, and those are due 10 months after the end of the covered period that's in your loan. And when you do that, you want to communicate with your lender about your specific timeline and perhaps some of the best version of the application to use. There are several kinds of forgiveness applications. So after that, once you start that process, that lender has 60 days to review and submit that forgiveness application to the SBA. And then the SBA has another 90 days to review and then actually process that. So you could be waiting to hear back on which of your PPP funds are forgiven for up to 5 months. But during that time, your payments are deferred. Unforgiven amounts of your PPP loan are going to be due to your lender based on the loan terms and that repayment that's described in your loan documents, and your first payment could be up to 5 months after your forgiveness application is submitted. And finally, on the PPP, you want to be sure and keep all of your Paycheck Protection Program and forgiveness application documents for 6 years. So that's the PPP, or the Paycheck Protection Program. A few notes and high points there. Again, that one's not accepting applications anymore, but As I understand it, there are some folks that still have those loans, and so those details are ones that they're going to want to know about and check up on. The next thing I want to talk about is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or EIDL, program. And that's another federally funded program through the CARES Act, and that goes, again, like the PPP, through the Small Business Administration. Now, this one's still open, and applications are being processed by the SBA. And unlike the PPP, this loan does not have a forgiveness element to it. This is a non-forgivable loan that must be paid back. As far as eligibility goes, it's pretty broad. Small businesses, cooperatives, nonprofits, sole proprietors, and independent contractors can apply. And a few of the details, the loan amounts can be up to $2 million at a 3.75% interest rate for small businesses and 2.75% interest rate for nonprofits. And that loan has a 30-year maturity. One more note here is that the applicant must have been in business on or by January 31st of 2020. Now, there are restrictions similar to the PPP on what you can use this loan to pay for. You can use these funds to pay for things like rent, payroll, accounts payable, and other bills that you couldn't pay because of the impacts caused by COVID-19 to your business. And one more important note about the EIDL program is that early EIDL applications offered a concurrent application for what they called an EIDL advance of up to $10,000, which depended on the number of employees. Now, this program is no longer available. So if you apply for an EIDL loan now at this point, this EIDL advance is not something you're going to be able to take advantage of. But for those of you that did receive an EIDL loan and an EIDL advance, just know if you've also received a PPP loan that EIDL advance amount will affect the loan forgiveness amount on your PPP. So talk with your lender about that if you've got questions, if you've received that EIDL advance. And finally, if you hold a Paycheck Protection Program loan, you can't use those EIDL loan program funds to pay the same covered expenses that you've paid with your Paycheck Protection Program. So those are the high points and some of the overview for the two federal programs. I encourage folks to go to that SBA website for further information there. And now I'll hand it over to Michelle to talk about some of these state programs that are available.
Right. So what about state programs, Michelle? Are there specific funds that fishermen can apply for? Are there specific funds that small businesses can apply for? And what are some of the restrictions on those programs?
Thank you. Yes, actually, there are a couple of programs available for small businesses and commercial fishermen, and two specifically that we'll talk about today. And the first one is the AKA CARES grant program, which has been in the buzz as of late. These funds became available initially in June to provide economic relief for small businesses. The program was later modified to include commercial fishermen, and ADA began accepting applications just as recently as August 6th. One of the initial requirements on that program was you had to have a business license, and most commercial fishermen, their business license is a limited entry permit, and initially the program was not recognizing that, but that has since changed, and it has been opened up to the commercial fishermen. These funds are on a first-come, first-served basis, and the application process is open until November 15th or until the cap is reached. So when they run out of money, obviously they can no longer issue grants. The amount of the grant ranges from $5,000 to $100,000. So there is a minimum amount that you are required to apply for, and then also a max. Some eligibility requirements, and these are kind of geared towards commercial fishing at this point for this discussion, but applicants must have been in operation as of March 11th of this year, and their primary business must be commercial fishing. They must have fished in 2019 and in 2020. although there are a couple exceptions to that eligibility requirement, and those are listed on ADA's website. And then additionally, one other change that was recently made is regarding if funds were received from other CARES monies like the ones that Gabe just mentioned. And if applicants have received $5,000 or less, they do still qualify for this program. The funds must be spent on eligible expenses by December 30th of this year. And again, like the federal monies, they cannot be used to cover the same expenses. So no double dipping, as they say. The application process is only available online through ADA's website. There's a portal there. That may be frustrating to some people who are not very computer savvy or don't have access to this type of electronics, but there are some sources where people can get assistance to help with that process. And there's some tips that we've learned in the last couple of weeks since the opening for applications for fishermen, and I just wanted to share a couple of those tips. One, I would definitely recommend reading the informational sheet and the checklist in the very beginning. Read the whole thing through just to have understanding of the parameters of the program and what is required. Also, you're required to attach supporting documentation. And so since it's an electronic application, everything is going to need to be made into an electronic file, all your supporting information there. And so it'd be good to have all that done prior to beginning the application, because unfortunately the application is not as save as you go. It's once you sit down and you start it, entering everything, if you can't finish it at that time, then the next time you sit down, you'll have to restart from the beginning. Some general things that you will need is a copy of your state ID, a copy of your limited entry permit, and a voided check. As for the limited entry permit, there's a couple things. You can take a picture of the embossed card, or you can get a printout from the CFDC website that just documents that you do actually own the permit. As far as a voided check, if that's not something that you have, you can talk with your banking institution for what might be another option to use for that. Some examples of expense documentation to include would be, and that you would need to gather, would be your 2019 Schedule C and 1099s, and we'll talk about that in a minute of why those would be useful. Your 2020 settlement sheet from your fish company, and it doesn't have to be your final sheet. It can be the sheet that you have at the time of submitting the application. Any applicable invoices for expenses, fishing-related, purchase orders, loan statement, estimates, things like that. Only business expenses are applicable, and they have to be expenses that were incurred within the program period. So the window that we're talking about is from March 11th to the application day plus 8 weeks. So if we were to roughly count that up, for right now, March 11th to now, I believe is about 23 weeks, and then plus 8 weeks, so future expenses, is the applicable period. So if you paid for your some kind of a fishing-related expense on February 28th, that expense is not eligible. And some of the expenses are prorated over that allowable period that we just spoke of. As a side note, this program was initially rolled out for small businesses in general, and then the fishermen were added to it. And so I think this is a method of fitting fishermen into the program requirements that were initially outlined. So when it comes to prorating, we're just talking about those weeks that we just discussed divided by the 52 weeks of the year would give us the prorated rate that we're looking for. And where that would come into play is payroll expense, which is another example of an expense. And typically, we don't think of commercial fishing as having payroll, but for the purposes of this application, there's two items that we could use, and this is where the 2019 Schedule C comes into play. On your Schedule C, as part of your taxes from 2019, if you had crew share amount that you paid out, you're able to use that as an expense for this application. And the category that you would put it under is payroll, but it would be the prorated amount, not the full amount that you paid. And then additionally, if you had a net profit on that Schedule C, you would be able to also use that at the prorated rate as an expense. And those two would be entered under the payroll category. If you had a loan payment, and if that loan payment is even due like September 1st or October 1st, that would be an eligible expense also at the prorated amount. As long as it's like for a commercial fishing, a permit loan or your vessel loan, that would be applicable. Some other examples would be like your settlement sheet expenses that you had incurred during this 2020 season that are listed on the settlement sheet. And then receipts that maybe for items that you paid out of pocket or invoices that clearly show that the item has been paid. So I know this gets a little confusing because the way the instruction sheet says that you have to also include bank statements or credit card statements. But if you have invoices that are very explicit, like many invoices will list the last four digits of the credit card that it was paid, then you won't need to also include the associated like credit card statement that matches that. Some ineligible expenses that are not able to be included would be fish company advances. They look at those as actually being income, so that's not considered an expense. And unfortunately, insurance premiums are not an eligible expense, or government fees, such as like the CFEC, renewal fees, property taxes, and items like that. Also, after you submit the application, it's recommended that you save a copy of that as well as all of the supporting documentation just for your record. There's a lot to that program. They tried to make the application, my understanding is that they tried to make the application process pretty simple for the applicant as well as the agent on the review side so that they could quickly verify expenses and issue the grants. But in practicality, the application, especially for people in rural Alaska where technology has its own constraints, the application process has become more cumbersome than they ideally wanted it to be. Essentially, that was just the highlights that, we wanted to point out in regards to the CARES money. It's new, and it's just being able to share some of the information that we've learned thus far with the fishermen is really the goal for today.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other program, and there's not a whole lot of information to share about this yet because it's still in the development stages, but this is also a state program, and it's NOAA CARES Act, also known as maybe Section 12005. You may have heard that. And it's money, it's CARES money that was allocated specifically for the commercial fishing industry. And Alaska's share of that money is $50 million, and it to be dispersed to industry participants, which would include tribes, individual persons, fishing communities, the agriculture businesses, processors, and other fishing-related businesses. And currently, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is working on a spending plan and actually seeking input from industry leaders within our state to help develop this plan and how those funds will be distributed to these different parties that were just mentioned. They anticipate a draft being available here in the near future, but there isn't a specific date lined up for that yet. As they do, you know, work that out, there are a couple things that we do know about it because they're determined by on the federal level. for these funds. And one is that the fishing operation must have incurred a 35% revenue loss compared to their past five-year average. So that will be one general requirement. And the other requirement, which is pretty unique thus far, as all these different assistance programs and CARES monies have been rolled out to help small businesses, one of the caveats that has been similar in most of them is that if you received CARE money from one program, you're not eligible for CARES money in another program, like such as the ones Gabe's mentioned, you know, the PPP. If you received more than $5,000 in that, you can apply for any other program. But here it seems that that's not going to be the case, that you can still apply for this, but that caveat would be that you wouldn't be able to be better off than your five-year average with all monies received from assistance and traditional revenues of the year. But to date, that's pretty much all we know about that program until they define the spending plan.
Federal and state programs aren't the only funding options available. There's also local and tribal assistance. Gabe, where can people find out more about those programs on the local level?
Right, Izzy. There's some CARES Act money that was distributed to some local and tribal governments, and some people may have those available to them at that community or local tribal level. So really the best way to figure out whether or not you can have that option to apply for those sources is to contact your respective local and or tribal government for more information there. But that being said, there's a couple other things. So moving away now from describing some of these funding programs, there's a few other things that a business owner or an individual can do right now to really help themselves out going forward, particularly if you decide to pursue some of these financial assistance programs. One of the things you can do is to basically take a financial snapshot of your business by putting together your financial information. Now, if you want to be formal about it, we're talking about the stuff that goes into a balance sheet, an income statement, and a cash flow statement, for example. Now, if this sounds like it's intimidating, you can think about it this way. Your goal is to know, one, how much you owe versus how much you own, and two, what your income looks like when compared against your expenses. So, for example, you can get information like the settlement sheet from your processor, like Michelle mentioned already. You can gather any credit card or any credit account statements, figure out what your debt situation looks like. And along those same lines, you can review any of your loan documents, particularly if you've got some business equipment that you have loans for. Another thing you can do is contact your lender. Lenders have been working with the Small Business Administration for the PPP, and so they're likely a good source for information on any new developments there as far as assistance programs available through them. You know, so you can talk to them about any resources they might have or some potential relief options they might have available. And lastly, it's going to be a good idea going forward to stay informed on current economic relief and other developments affecting either you personally, of course, or your industry. These assistance programs that we just mentioned can and do change with significance and regularity. Check back with the Small Business Development Administration, check with the Alaska Department of Commerce, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. As Michelle mentioned, they are going to be developing that spend plan for those Section 12005 funds that she described. And along those same lines, don't forget about the information available through your industry groups. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association has a pretty extensive website dedicated to providing resources for commercial fishermen on COVID-19 relief and other things. And the UFA, United Fishermen of Alaska, have a website with some valuable information as well. And of course, for any information about the pandemic, you want to go to the State of Alaska COVID-19 page or the CDC page. I'll finish up with a few places where folks might be able to get some help or some assistance. As we've mentioned, Michelle and I are working with and through PBDC to provide what we've been speaking about with you today. And so PBDC is a good contact. Folks can reach out to me directly via email, and I'll do my best to point people in the right direction. You can call BBNA. And you can also get in touch with SWMC. They have a program called Forward, where you can sign up and basically create a profile, and it will put you in touch with people that can give you some one-on-one assistance. So those are some of the places where people can get help.
That was Gabe Dunham with the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program and Michelle Kern with the Alaska Business Development Center in association with BBEDC. Thank you both so much for taking some time to walk through some of these programs and some of these options for people looking for financial assistance today.
Thank you, Izzy.
Thank you.